tomorrow or after tomorrow I live in here. I choose death. I choose death in my country, not in here. Because I think death in my country much better than dying here. You know, now I'm really scared. Now I'm really afraid about my new future. But what can I do? Nothing, nothing. I don't believe that situation. I don't believe that happened to me. I don't know what happened to me in the new future. But just, I won't tell them. I won't tell the government Australian why they're doing like that with us, with me. I choose go back to my country. I go to that persecution. I have many, many problems in new future, but I'm young. I'm 25 years. I can't stay in here anymore. Maybe Australian people never thinking about that. They don't know what happened inside the mandatory detention center. From last year, last 15 months, we waiting for visit Australian people, but they don't let. I write many, many times to government. They take my letter. They put in the bin. They don't let us. They don't let us speak with Australian people, but I want to speak with Australian people. We want to speak with them. Please, please just listening to us. Please understand us. We are not criminal. I know I came in here illegally, but in the, every country, every refugee came to country, come to other country illegally, not legally, because I haven't time. I must illegally leave my country and I must illegally come to Australia for little support or little protect. But they told us, you are terrorist, you are criminal. Never. I'm not criminal, I'm not terrorist, I had everything. I had good life. But now, in this time, I lost all. But I think in the new future, if I stay more than this time in here, I lose my mind. But I don't want. I lose my mind. I want to die. I want to die in my country, but I don't want to stay here anymore.
We were just listening to Ali, who used to be a resident of the Port Hedland Detention Centre last year, and he was talking about how he's been sent back to Iran, and he was talking to the people from the Freedom Bus, and again, that was recorded off the Waking Up the Nation video. And I guess that kind of leads on to what we're going to talk about now is the actual cost of detention, since our big politicians have been having a big rant about how much all these fires have caused, how much damage and all the rest of it.
$8.5 million, I think they're saying, is the cost of the fires on New Year's.
That's right. And, of course, this is keeping in mind, Australia is the only developed nation that mandatorily detains our refugees. And to do that, to keep one single family in the Curtin Detention Centre, is costing the Australian government $3,600 per week. Now, a select parliamentary committee was pulled together to cost alternatives, which included home detention and transitional housing. And using their figures, the weekly cost for that same family would be $150 on parole or $110.32 on probation. Now, the cost of keeping people in detention is huge, and it's been estimated to be about $120 per person daily. The Pacific Solution, with the government's offshore processing policy for asylum seekers, has cost the Australian government at least $500 million since its inception last year. And at the federal budget handed down in May, the federal treasurer announced that $2.8 million would be allocated to strengthening border protection, which is an increase of $1.2 billion over current spending. This border security took precedence over giving funds to education, health and social welfare, and has meant that government spending is 3,800 times more on its so-called border protection than on its contribution to the United Nations Refugee Agency, the UNHCR. Now, most of this money goes directly into the profits of US-based multinational corporation called Wackenhut Corrections Corporation, who have an annual turnover of $2.2 billion US. Australasian Correctional Management is a subsidiary of Wackenhut, and this country had been contracted to do the refugee prisons and domestic prisons in Australia, but recently just lost the contract. In June 2000, the ACM was turning over $10 million Australian dollars and made $7.5 million profit from its operations of detention centres, which averaged out to be about $100 per refugee per day per profit. And this is what the Australian government's talking about when it's saying we're spending all this money. It's going to a large multinational over and above. And the property that's destroyed was, of course, paid for by the government to set up, but then under control by ACM, the Australian Correctional Management. Yeah, of this, for details of this budget, the Refugee Council of Australia had analysed it, and it seems $219 million was for the single construction of the detention centre out at Christmas Island, $450 million over 4 years for the offshore processing, and $775 million to assist transient countries to detect and intercept asylum seekers. And as said, this is all coming out of money that should be spent on social security and that sort of thing. And on top of that, it seems some of that money has some interesting accounting. Another creative accounting strategy was to count searching for boat people in North Australia as, quote, environmental expenditure, with $243 million of the civil maritime surveillance of asylum seekers and illegal fishing vessels to be covered under that little, I guess, heading.
Of course, there's alternatives to detention because Australia is the only Western country that has mandatory detention for asylum seekers. And the costs of non-mandatory detention but living in the community in other countries like Sweden, Canada and New Zealand, like Aska said, is way beyond or below what Australia is currently spending on this inhumane and widely condemned practice of mandatory detention. Amnesty International have some things to say about the alternatives to detention. The alternative models of detention aim to lower the curbs to personal liberty of asylum seekers, limit the duration of detention, ensure support services to respond to the special needs of asylum seekers, and train government and detention system staff to recognise the problems that asylum seekers face. It's been recently in the Australian press that psychiatrists around Australia are condemning mandatory detention because the conditions in there are leading to people doing the sorts of self-harm and suicide rate being the 10 times what it is for the average population of Australia. The psychological harm alone is big enough cost, let alone the cost of property.
Mm. And, of course, this was all introduced in 1989. And before that, during the 70s and 80s, we were accepting up to 20,000 refugees a year at that time, as opposed to down to its current numbers, which I believe is around 8,000. So it's obviously a completely political decision and has no real actual bearing on how refugees ought to be managed.
The alternative methods already used by other countries for instead of detention include monitoring requirements such as a regular reporting to a case officer and a requirement to present within 24 hours if requested. This is pretty much the same as what happens for people on parole from jail. Should these requirements not be met, financial assistance would be stopped. Provision of a guarantor, surety, who would be called in should the person abscond, release on bail, and open centres with hostel-like accommodation. People would be free to come and go during the day, although there could be curfews. Once refugee status is approved, people would be expected to pay board until they found their own accommodation. Other organisations have echoed Amnesty International's call to end mandatory detention of asylum seekers. The Refugee Council of Australia proposed a three-tiered detention system for asylum seekers as an alternative to mandatory and non-revisable detention. These stages are closed detention, open detention and community release. All of these systems recognise that people do have to be held for a minimum amount of time, and in Sweden I think it's a maximum of 6 days for children because children aren't, in most places, considered to be terrorist risks. So minimum detention they feel is necessary to verify identity, undertake health and security checks. Yet once these initial procedures have taken place, there are alternatives to keeping asylum seekers in detention, which doesn't have to undermine their rights as humans.
Well, in the Netherlands, asylum seekers are accepted for further consideration of visas within 48 hours. So obviously they're doing things much more efficiently, much more better, much more humanely than what's happening here. This next song is the Prison Song, System of Down. You're listening to Triple Z. We'll be right back.